far more questions than when I started. So I think there's going to be a lot more investigation to come. So I've become really fond of the keepers and the individual animals at the zoo, and I feel very comfortable at Camperdown. And it's precisely this comfortable feeling that really disturbs me. So perhaps obviously the thing that really captured my attention at the zoo was the cage. Netting, fencing, chain link, electric wire. Physical barriers between human and animal. Both for the visitors and animals' safety. Both for the visitors and animals' captivation. The cage is at once a boundary, separating beast from beast, and a meeting point, a site of encounter, between unknowable minds. On the first day of the residency, as I stalked through the zoo, hoping to capture images of the animals with my camera, a funny thing happened. I found that my camera would focus either on the fence, reducing the animal to an indistinguishable blur, or on the animal, rendering the fence between us almost invisible. Almost. The phantom fence is present in almost all of my images from the zoo. A reminder that where zoos are concerned, even if we focus entirely on the animal, the cage is still there. Surprisingly, it was not the bears or the wolves that elicited the most sympathy from the visitors, but the golden eagles. Despite the myriad of other birds also caged at the zoo, the presence of a caged eagle was the most distressing. So the film I'm about to show you is the penultimate edit of a work made for a wider installation from the residency. So I welcome comments and feedback. And fingers crossed it will work.
That escapes from its unlocked cage, darting swiftly through an open window. The prisoner who releases a captured pigeon from his cupped hands through the bars of his cell. The finch that darts in and out through the chain link fence of the zoo enclosure. The imagery of freedom is littered with wings. But the caged bird sings not of freedom. The caged bird sings of sorrow, of loss, and of limit. The caged bird sings of captivity, and none sings as loudly as the caged eagle. Feels envy at the freedom afforded by true flight. He clings to his machines and devices, claiming mastery of the skies. Captive birds are unwinged, denied their very nature. Tethered to a skyless existence, their divine power rendered useless. Captive birds display man's dominion, trophies of his triumph over nature, proof he has clipped the wings of God. He does not see that he is captive, bound by his desire to conquer and control, to label and to order. He is captivated by flight, by freedom, by the infinite sky. Yet, in creating a birdcage, he creates a cage for his imagination, the very thing that can bring him the delights he so craves. Song. Imbibed with human symbolism, the eagle holds a special place in our imagination. These majestic, powerful, sharp-eyed creatures embody the qualities we desire, and our jealousy at their superior ability is plain. To unwing ourselves, to deny it its nature, its freedom to fly, is to deny our very imagination. Perhaps this is why the eagle is the most distressing of all caged birds. Exhilaration, a boundless delight. Above him, an endless heaven, and below, an infinite deep. He felt the air rush over his skin and the dangerous pull of the earth below him. Yet he defied it with each powerful beat of his great wings. In his state of wild abandon, he forgot that he was mortal, forgot that he was human, and forgot his father's warning not to fly too close to the sun. We are told that as the wax melted and the great wings crumbled, he remembered his father's words. We are told that the moral of the tale is to recognize one's limits, not to overreach, and to listen to one's parents. But as Icarus fell, did he do so as one who greedily strove for too much, or one who lived, who experienced true freedom? We are afraid of our own wild imagination, afraid that it will drive us towards the sun. In our pursuit of freedom, we are terrified that we will fall, terrified of the wings we desire. So we have locked them away and removed them from the skies so as not to taunt us. But we feel the lack. It weighs heavily on our minds as we become increasingly grounded under the pressures of living. We need the presence of great wings to inspire and encourage us. In a wingless world, we no longer gaze skyward. We lose our imagination, and so we lose our freedom. If we only encounter these skyless birds, how can we expect any less? But there is hope. The eagles are returning. Those who feel the loss the hardest, who hear the eagle's song the loudest, have brought them back to Scottish skies. Eager tourists flock to see them, not to hunt them, nor to cage them, but to see them flying free, to let their imaginations soar. Perhaps now we can tell a different story. Wingless sits at the edge of the rocky shore, staring out over grey water and powder sky. An empty canvas, a stage awaiting a star. Behind her, the forest murmurs in anticipation. She has heard rumour of its return, but she will not believe until she has seen it with her own eyes. It is the cry of the gulls which alerts her to his presence, and suddenly there it is, swooping through a mob of screaming herons. Whitetail. In that instant, her spirit lifts, and great wings erupt from her back. She launches into the sky, gliding over the waves. She is there with it, wingtip to wingtip, its sharp eyes focused ahead as it dips low over the sand. As the gulls fall behind, it rises sharply over the dunes and disappears beyond the treetops. She blinks, hardly daring to believe her own eyes. Exhilarated and content, she breathes deeply. Staring at the point that Whitetail was lost to her as she sits on the rocky shore. Wingless.